So welcome to our church. We are continuing our series, Great by Grace. And you have some great calls on the inside of you. You have some great purposes on the inside of you. And yes, they are great, but we need to understand they are also given by God. Now, all your abilities, some of us are good at things that other of us are not, and sometimes we can look at life and look at what other people are good at. I look at people who can sing, and I am envious in a good way. I covet their gift. I'm glad that they're part of the body. I want to see their gifts used. I've already said this statement that if I could sing, I would never shut up, and my messages would be sung instead of spoken. Jesse probably would have never married me because I would have never gave her an opportunity to talk because I would have just been 24/7. But we all have these gifts and callings. We need to recognize they came from God to begin with. And sometimes we have a purpose or a call on our life that God has brought us to where our giftings are not enough to get us to where we need to go. I know none of you have ever faced that, but some of us have, where we realize that our giftings are not enough. In our own abilities, in our own self, we don't have what it takes to get us to where we need to go. But there is a promise for that. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a promise for that. That is, okay, don't tell no one, because I don't want nobody to take this yet, but that's a new series right there. You know, there's an app for that. There's a promise for that. And so there is a promise for that. And the promise that you're looking for when you look at the task that God has set before you and said, this is impossible for me to do on my own. The promise you're looking for is even though I'm weak, in my weakness, God makes me strong. How is that possible? Because when it comes to pass, you'll be able to take no credit for it. You'll be able to say, how did this happen? It is because God performed where I could not. God connected people that I could never have connected. God put me in the path of people that I should have never been in the path of. I believe y'all are thinking and contemplating deeply on the inside of you. Now let's look at this. Let's turn to our Bibles to Judges chapter 13. I want to show you someone. The main scripture, you know, that I want to use here is the gifts and callings with God are without repentance. We've been talking about this. People have anointing on their life. There are singers who are anointed to sing that do not sing gospel music. Everybody look around and say your favorite style of music right now. Wow. Everybody calm down. Nobody participate that fast. That was just too much. You're over. Okay, let's just ask this. Okay, in your style of music, how many would say classic rock tends to be your favorite? Okay, a couple true people. Okay, thank you. All right, let me ask this. Okay, how about hip-hop? Who are you are all hip-hop people? Okay, there's some there. Classical music. There's more of you than I expected. Okay, country music. Oh. That's the first and only boo, but there were a lot of hands. There were a lot of hands. I'll tell you, I like all styles of music. My absolute favorite would have to be gospel. Southern gospel. Not twangy Southern gospel. Don't get me wrong. Everybody gets in the mood for twangy music every once in a while. I know all of you have those moments where you're wanting to listen to I'm so lonesome, I could cry. That's about the twangiest thing I've ever heard in my life. I know you get that moment where you just want that old country music. But Southern gospel music has always been my absolute favorite. Now, why did we get on music? Because I love music. I absolutely love music. But I like all styles of music. I like every type of music. There's really not much music I haven't liked. I'm not a huge fan of German opera. Still sounds good, but just a little rough. I like all styles of music. I really enjoy it, and it's amazing. It is amazing to watch people who are anointed to be a part of that. Now, and there are many things. There are people who build, and they are anointed. They can just build something. The people, designers that can see stuff. Are you a seer when it comes to designer, where you can look at a room, and you know what it looks like once you get done? I see a couple hands. That is not me. That is not me at all. I cannot see anything. You can tell me, you can paint a picture with your words, what will be over here, what would be over there, and I'm just going to look at you and go, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know what my mind is? I see an empty room, and that's all I see. I don't see a room filled. You might say, we're going to paint these walls charcoal, and we're going to highlight it and put a splash of this in there and this, and we're going to put a kitchenette or nook or whatever. I don't know. First of all, I don't know what any of those words mean anyway, and you're just talking, and I'm going to look like I agree and understand what you're talking about, but I don't know anything. I cannot look at a blank room. I cannot look at a room with white walls and imagine it with a different color. Until I throw that color on there, I have no idea what it's going to look like. And most people, you can get the patches all together, you know, and paint a little square. I still can't really tell. Last time I painted a wall, I had to have 15 squares on the wall before I finally picked a color because I couldn't see it. I just could not see it. Okay, so none of you suffer like that, but I do. And I think that's a gifting. It is a call. When some of you are painting and artists and you're able to do, some of you have so much wisdom and understanding on the inside of you with common sense, and you understand how uncommon it is. Thank you. You understand how uncommon it is. That is an anointing and a call on your life. These are gifts and promises of God. He created you, knew you before the foundations of the earth, and he placed on the inside of you destinies and gifts that are without what? Repentance. And can I tell you something? You can operate in some of the gifts God has given you without ever allowing God to operate in your life. Oh, some of you looked at me like a cow looking at a new gate. So let me explain that. We have a great example of this in the Old Testament. Samson. Samson operated in a call of God, and he did everything against the call of God. I'm not saying, look. I am not saying that if you go against the plan of God for your life, everything's going to be hunky-dory. You're going to be able to get to the other side, and everything's going to be perfect, and life is going to be great. Guess what? No, life is going to be extra hard for you. You do certain things out of the will of God, and there are some things that you have set up that should never be done that way, and you're going to have to work harder than you would have if you would have listened to the plan of God for your life. Well, I'll just give you an example of this. Children are what? A gift from the Lord, a blessing from the Lord. So we had a family member in my family who had a child out of wedlock. Y'all understand what that means? Okay. If I have to explain it, just look at me and nod. I will explain it. She wasn't married, and she had a baby. So now, once she told the family, the church family that she has, and when I say family, I mean blood, and we all go to church, we all believe in Jesus, whether we act like it or don't. There are times that we don't always act like it. But when she told, she got depressed, and she cried, and she was very upset, and she called me, and she said, oh, no one in the family's happy for me. Everybody, no one is rejoicing. I just announced to most of the family that I'm pregnant, and everybody seems awkward. And I said, baby, look. I want you to understand something. We're going to love that baby. No matter male, female, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. We're going to love that child. I said, do you know what's happening? Children are a blessing from the Lord. Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, we're going to love that child. That child's going to get Christmas presents, birthday presents. We're going to celebrate with that child. I said, do you know why the family seems a little awkward? Once, you did it outside the plan of God. You did it outside of God's way of doing things. And number two, we also understand as a single parent, it's harder. It is harder than two people together. Can I tell you something? Single parents, I give it up for you. I pray for you on a regular basis. Would you like to know why? Because when I come home and I don't feel good, I don't have to stay up. I can go to Jessie and say, tag, you're it. My butt's going to bed. Now, she may not be happy about that. And she may ask me, well, how long are you going to be in bed? She's not here to tell me anything. She has a baby shower to go to in Milwaukee. This is dangerous. Jesse's not here. And so she will tell me, I have had times where I wasn't feeling well. And she's like, how long are you going to be in bed? And I'm just like, I don't know. Just leave me alone. She's like, are you going to be in here all day? I don't think so, but just like, give me 2 hours. Come back and check again. And she's like, okay, well, fine. But she takes care of the kids. So I have someone. And then if I can come home and realize that maybe her day has not been fantastic and she's had it, you know, up to here with children, you know, she doesn't have to say anything. I can see it on her face. Or the fact that she's talking to me, holding a knife, preparing dinner, and using her hands and telling me what's going on while she's holding the knife. I know. Kids, let's go to the park. Come on, let's go outside and play. Let's go do something. And I can give her a break. Somebody have a headache. Somebody doesn't feel well. You got at least 2 people to be able to help you out. And so it's hard enough with 2. So my hat's off to single parents. So in all of this, we all have gifts and callings. There is a plan, but we can get outside the plan. Can I tell you something? You can still operate in some gifts and callings of God, even though you're outside of his will. Thank you. Some of you, I know, I can see the wheels turning. There's smoke coming outside of your ears right now because you're thinking, is that true? Is that true? Well, I've already told you, Samson, we all know the story of Samson. He is a great example of this. Judges chapter 13, and we're going to read through 2-3. And there was a certain man of Zorah, let's just say that, from the family of Danites, and who was the name? Manoah. Got a problem? I know a guy. It's terrible. And so Manoah and his wife was barren, so she couldn't have a baby, right? And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, beware, I pray, and drink not wine or strong drink. Eat not any unclean thing. Now, this was before we knew not to drink when you were pregnant. We count this as common knowledge. Well, the angel had to show up and say, hey, put the liquor down while you're pregnant. Don't let that touch your lips. You know, put the Jack and Coke down. No wine. No drinking right now. And don't eat anything unclean. No bacon. That's so sad. That's Jewish law. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad we are delivered. For lo, thou hast conceived and bared a son, and no razor shall come to his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver, look at that, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Now, up until this time, they had been in the hands of the Philistines for about 40 years right now. Now, they were a great nation. They were a nation that other nations feared. Other nations trembled. They are the nation that had victory over the giants. They were the nation that came into the land of milk and honey. This was the nation to be afraid of. This was a nation who had military power, and they couldn't even figure out how they had military power. They were able to win wars that they should have never been able to win. You know, I could just see strategists seeing, these are the luckiest people we have ever seen on the face of the earth. Israel should have been wiped off the face of the earth a long time ago. They're a small nation. And God cut a covenant with them that their people would be around to the very end. And that covenant still stands today. That's the only reason they're still around. Because nation after nation after nation has set themselves against them. And even very recently in our history, the Six-Day War, it was a plan to wipe them out. And enough nations were against them, it should have succeeded. How can a tiny nation overcome all of that? The hand of God is upon them. Even though there's times that they please God, and times that they don't. And we ought to be thankful for that, because we can look at our own life and say there have been times that we have pleased God and times that we haven't. And God's blessing, God's promise is still in operation. But we can make it so much easier on ourselves by lining our life up with the plan of God. Look at your neighbor and say, I have not lost hope. There's nothing you've done that cancels your ability to still go forward. There's no amount of sin that you have committed that right now, if you say, I'm going to turn my life around, I'm going to do what God has called me to do, that God can't take you right now and you continue to do what he's called you to do and run your race and finish it. Not like, oh, I just barely limped over the finish line. No, run as running a race and winning, and not by a small shot, but by a long shot. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? Now, so she named her son what? Samson, right? And what does Samson mean? It means solar. It means like the sun. It means sunshine. So she is proclaiming the word of God over her child. This child is going to deliver us out of the Philistines' hand. This child is going to deliver us. Can I tell you something? And I don't want you to get in fear about anything, because if you've made mistakes, other generations can suffer for your mistakes. It's a part of life. If we make mistakes, other generations can suffer. The Bible tells us that wise and godly people, we leave an inheritance for our kids. Well, what if we didn't prepare like we should have, and we didn't leave an inheritance, and we're not putting them in the place that they should have started off in life? Or maybe we didn't get them in church as we should have. God can speed things up. God can help them overcome. But I want to let you see something, that if Samson did what he was supposed to do to completely deliver them out of the hands of the Philistines, there would have been no Goliath. Because that came after with David. From the Philistines. He could have stopped an evil plan from forming that was coming years later. And so as you are, you know, we all, in the body of Christ, we hear about curses following families. Oh, you're cursed. And we get to such a point where we look at curses so much that we forget to look at blessings. And maybe you say, well, I'm the first to serve God in my family. You have just put a blessing that will continue down the line from generation to generation to generation. And maybe you have, like I do, an inheritance of grandparents, my parents, my great-grandparents who served the Lord. And I'll tell you what, there are things that still run in my family because my great-great-grandfather was faithful to serve God. I'm going to tell you this, too. I love this. My grandmother was a Pentecostal holiness preacher before they ever allowed Pentecostal holiness women to be preachers. And I got to go back and preach in the very church that she built. Her and my grandparents built the church. They laid the cinder block. They poured the concrete. They built the church. And so as I was there, there was this older lady. I don't know how old she was, but she looked like she was about 3 or 4 years younger than Jesus. She was there. She was a kid when my grandmother preached, my great-grandmother preached and founded the church. She attended there. And she told me afterwards, she cried during the service. And I just thought, well, she's Pentecostal. Of course she cries. That's what Pentecostals do. They boo-hoo and make a mess and shout and make up run and all this kind of stuff. And so she told me afterwards, she said, I want to tell you something. When you preached, there were things that you did that your grandmother would do. I'm going to tell you something. There are some things that run in our DNA that cause us to look like our family or to act like our family. There are spiritual blessings that will cause us to imitate, and that runs down and that you can look at and say, that is a spiritual blessing. It runs in the family. Some of you, you can call it this. There is a gift of gab in some families. Gift of telling stories, a gift of entertainment, and it runs through the family. That is a gift. And we need to start seeing spiritual gifts for what they are. And we need to focus on the blessing, because as a child of God, the curses have died off. That's canceled by the blood of Jesus, but the blessings keep being poured down. And like some of you, you might say, well, nobody in my family ever served the Lord that I'm aware of. Well, you're in a new bloodline. And the blessing of God runs on your life. Every promise that you can find is in him, yes, and in him, amen. Now, Samson was a Nazarite, right? All right. So what were the three things that Nazarites were not allowed to do? Anyone? No haircuts. No wine, no liquor, no strong drinks. Oh, One more. Can you get it, my little Bible students? No bacon is very true, but that was a Jewish law. How about this one? No, a Nazarite could not touch any dead animal or any dead person. No unclean thing did they touch. And so those were the three laws that he had to abide by. Can I tell you something? The strength of Samson was not because he had big muscles. My personal opinion is I believe he looked like a normal human being. I think he was skinny. I don't think he was well built. And the reason I believe that, the fact of the matter is that they kept looking for his secret. Why would they look for his secret if they could say he's well built, he works out, he does all this stuff? They're looking for a secret. They're looking for a formula. And they went to Delilah. Delilah, tell us. You got to find his secret. He loves you. Find a secret. Why were they looking for a secret? Because it just wasn't human possible. It just wasn't possible to do what he was doing. And he had a plan of God on his life. He had a blessing on his life. And it continued to be on his life. Let's look at Judges 16, and we're going to read 1 through 3. Samson's power did not come because he didn't cut his hair. Samson's power did not come because he didn't touch any dead thing. Samson's power did not come because he didn't drink any alcohol or liquor. Samson's power came because he was obedient to God. And I'm going to tell you something. Your strength, your ability to overcome, your ability to walk out in this world and be victorious is not because you have fulfilled everything correctly. It's because you hear, you listen, and you obey the Lord. Just like Samson obeyed in this situation, when you obey God, you will open doors that could not be opened any other way. And there are some gifts and calls on your life that you'll have for the rest of your life, no matter what you do. Can I tell you where a lot of people make a mistake and where I believe Samson made a mistake? Because when he got out of the will of God, the fact that God never took it away, he began to probably believe that God was okay with it. Because if God wasn't okay with it, why would he still let me do what it is I'm doing? And I'm going to tell you, even the most religious people on the face of the earth, if they don't have their life right, they'll have a couple of rules that they absolutely stick to. They absolutely will not break. I remember there was a community, a man of God who committed adultery. And they interviewed, you know, because that's what religious people do. We're going to interview and see if we can get this person right back on path. If not, we'll turn them away and turn them over for the destruction of their flesh. And so this was the board of the church was going to look through all this and figure it out. And in his defense, the lady that he was with spoke in his defense and said, yes, we did meet. Yes, we did break God's law. But I want to tell you, he is a good man. The whole time that we were in the hotel, he never turned the TV on one time. Not once did he ever turn the TV on. Because at that time, the TV was evil and it was demonic. He kept the law of no watching TV. But he broke the law of don't commit adultery. And in somehow in her mind, he made a mistake. But look how good. And can I tell you something? That's religion. Where we will look at our works and say, we're good. This is, you know, I may have messed up, but look at all the good I have done. Can I tell you something? We have to acknowledge God in all our ways. And if we make a mistake, be quick, 1 John 1:9, to repent, to turn from our ways. Acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And I remember people debating, can this person be restored? Can this person be restored? There is no such thing as a person that cannot be restored that wants to. No such thing. Oh, all right, we won't get into that. So, Judges, have you found Judges 16? We're going to read 1 through 3 here. And then Samsung, you know, in South Korea. Y'all get that later. In Gaza, saw that there was a harlot. Now, this is what I want to get across to you. This is how far Samson has got away from the Lord and how far he's come to where he is at this point. Now, for the sake of time. Ah. there, you know, that's not the scripture I wanted to go to, but we'll read it anyway. It'll make another point in just a moment. All right. And so Samson laid until midnight, verse 3, and arose at midnight and took the doors off the gates, the two posts, and went away and the bar all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before it. Now get this. This man ripped gates off of a city wall. Not off of entering your home. I mean, let's even look at some celebrities' homes. They have some pretty good-sized gates. But a city puts a humongous gate. A gate that will take a lot of people to be able to bust it open. And Samson rips it off of its hinges, takes it, and plants it out on a hill. This man had some unbelievable strength. And he was nowhere. He, the night before, was with a harlot. The night before, breaking the plan of God, the call of God on his life, going the different way. Judges, we won't read it this right now, but Judges 14, 2 through 3 was where I wanted to go to. You can look that up, but this shows you how much of a brat that Samson really was. He got his mom and dad, and he said, hey, go get this woman for me. I like her. She looks good. I want her. I want to marry her. Let's get her. And his parents says, hey, you're marrying ungodly people. And the Bible's very clear. The word, the Torah, is clear that we are not supposed to marry outside of God's plan for our life. And he says, she pleases me. And the parents did it. One, parents, don't be that dumb. Two, my mother, didn't matter how strong I was, would have slapped me across my face and told me, how dare you ever speak to me like that? Who do you think I am? But Samson was a brat, and he was, you know, sometimes as people, we'll look the other way as long as we get something out of it. And Samson, he was at a place where he was not walking in the plan of God for his life, but he was still walking in some of the gifts and callings that he had on his life. And this is what I want to tell you too. Never judge a ministry by gifts and callings. I can't tell you how many times I've ever heard in my life, that person's so great because they lay hands on the sick and they recover. Well, how about you? Do you not do the same thing? Do you not have that same ability on the inside of you? Because God tells us that these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's what we do in here on a regular basis. And this is a gift that doesn't matter if you did everything right the night before or you messed up. It's God's word. His promises are in him what? Yes. And then, amen. We agree with them. And so we never judge a ministry by gifts and callings. We never judge somebody by the gifts and callings on their life. Because there are some gifts that God has given to us that there are things that are easier for us to do because of the gift that he's placed on our life. And if Samson was alive today and operating the same way he operated back then in our day, I believe that he would probably have a large ministry. I believe he would have tape sets. I believe we don't have tapes. I think he would have thumb drives, and he would have series. He would pack out coliseums. He would be on all the Christian television, and he would be great. He would be entertaining. He would probably, you know, bend things, talk about how to overcome any obstacles in your life, show photos of him on his magazine with the gate that he ripped off the hinges and on the back saying, victory is mine. You're having so many things, and I believe the majority of people would absolutely be enthralled with this ministry. Why? Because today in the body of Christ, we still have people running around looking for giftings instead of relationship with God. Can I tell you something? Religion will always produce those who are powerful because they operate in a gift than those that have a relationship with the Lord. They'll always push that above. You know, Jesse, I asked her to write it down. We didn't do it quick enough, and now she will never be able to say it. Hopefully she will soon say it the way she said it, because when she said it, it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. Because she was talking about the gifts of God and people flowing in the Holy Spirit, right? And who does not love to flow in the Holy Spirit? Who does not love a meeting where the Spirit of God is moving? But one of the statements she told me, she said, I really have a problem with the way we've done it in the past. And I'm like, the way we? And she goes, the body of Christ, the church. I'm like, okay, just making sure you're not talking to me here. And she said, because we all run to these meetings. We all have a good time. And she said, you know who always runs to these meetings? Who is never, ever going to miss these meetings? The people that I find that are the meanest people in the body of Christ. And I remember thinking about some people, and I thought, you're right. Now, look, if you go to a lot of Pentecostal meetings, I am not calling you mean, all right? But I would take a look. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not calling you mean. But what I am saying, this is the statement she said. She said, I believe the reason is because to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, to be involved in that, you have to make no changes in your life. You can be mean and you can experience. You need no character. You need no change in your character to pray in tongues. You need no change in your life to feel a touch from the Holy Spirit. She said, that's the reason why I in the past have been put off by these moves is because we would have them and no one would change. Because the body of Christ has taken that move, that feeling, to be spiritual as God's acceptance. Why would God move on me like that if I needed to change? If he didn't like what I was doing? Because God's gifts are in him, yes, and in him, amen. They are without repentance. You can thank God they are, because I believe we all need to continuously change. And God's gifts does not depend upon you changing. But, like Samson, and like many others in the body of Christ, we will create problems. And our giftings will get us to levels that our conscience cannot keep us there. And I believe right now we can see in our own nation, people who have giftings, I'm not talking about in the body of Christ, I'm just talking about people in the world who have giftings, who were good at something, who got to high levels, who all of a sudden are falling and crumbling all around us. Because what they have created is catching up with them. You know, there's an old statement, old song that they used to sing, that sin will take you further than you want to go. You'll pay a price higher than you want to pay. Look, sin will derail you from the plans of God in your life. So we don't get to a place where we accept sin. We don't get to a place where we allow sin to operate in our life because it hasn't affected us. I've heard this lie. I had someone tell me, well, my problem, my sin is mine, and it affects no one else. If you believe that, you have no understanding of the kingdom of God. No blessing affects just you. If you get blessed, it will never just affect you. God didn't create blessing to affect one person. It's meant to multiply. It's meant to increase. Now, notice what the scriptures, the angel said, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands. He started it. He did not have the character or the ability on the inside of him to finish it. But he did start it. There are sovereign gifts in ministry, sovereign gifts in our life, that as long as we live on this earth, we will have those gifts. Every Spirit-filled Christian, every Christian on the face of the earth can experience the gifts of God, can operate in some degree of the supernatural. Every Christian can operate in the gifts of the supernatural. Now, Mark 16 and 20, you can write that down. And they, which were the disciples, went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Can I tell you something? The word is powerful. The word is powerful whether you got your act together or whether you don't. So if you're waiting to be perfect, to pray for the sick, you don't need to do that. You can operate right where you are right now. I've had people tell me, well, Pastor, now this has been a long time ago. Now I think it would probably change a little bit. But back then it's like, you know, people that just got saved, I wish I could do what y'all do, but, you know, I still smoke a little. I wish I could do what y'all do, but, you know, I still drink every once in a while. I wish I could do what y'all do. Can I tell you something? Start doing it now. The closer you get to God, the more stuff will fall off of you. The more you work on your relationship with God and not so sin-focused. Whatever you focus on, you will draw to you. And some of us are trying to have victory over our sin, and we go a long time, and then all of a sudden we seem to have a relapse or fall back in. And our relationship with God is based on how good we can do. And we're no better than the religious people of Jesus' day who everything depended upon their own works. Look, do not go out and, you know, this is not a message to make you feel better because you had a hang up in the past. That is not what this message is for. But this message is to get you to continue to move in the plan of God and realize there has been no mistake in your life up till now that is going to discount you from flowing in the gifts and the call of God. That's why I believe some people have been devastated when ministers have failed, because they put their faith in the minister because of the gifts instead of God, who is faithful and merciful. And even though we may not be perfect, even though we may have attitudes that need to be fixed, maybe some things are small, maybe some things are huge, God still has a plan for you. God still wants you to walk in His promises, and His word never comes back void. I'm ending with this. Let's turn to Romans. There have been men and women in the body of Christ that we look back on and say, how could they accomplish what they have done with the sins that they had in their life? There are book after book after book talking about the falls of some of the great, great fathers and mothers of our faith. And I'm not going to tell you that their lives were perfect. Some of them, absolutely. We have, you know, and I'm just going to mention one. And, you know, we in Bible school, this is one of the things they did. They would point back to the fathers that went before us so that we wouldn't make the same mistakes. And one of them, A.A. Allen, an amazing healing, you know, he flowed in the healing power of God like it was nothing. And it was just amazing. I loved watching his videos. And you can go on YouTube and still watch some of his videos. But I remember someone criticizing him because when they did the autopsy, his alcohol level was huge in his blood. He died with a lot of liquor in his system. And they bashed him and discounted everything that happened. I'm like, first of all, we don't discount what's happened. And most of them, if they would have really wanted to dig in and see what was going on, the man was diagnosed with cancer, and they gave him morphine, and he couldn't do anything. So to kill the pain, he would drink, because he said, at least if I drink, I can still operate, but when they give me morphine, I can do nothing. And so they discounted him. They discounted all his miracles, said his ministry couldn't go forward, even though there were people that wanted to carry it on and continue to do this. They just said, absolutely not. And he lost so many friends before all this happened, because it began to get known. And I'm not saying what he did was right, but I'm not going to knock him for it either. I've always been under the mentality, until you at least did what someone else done, they're humans. Of course they have stuff going on. They're not perfect. They're going to have an attitude or maybe throw something. Can I tell you a story really quickly? This is sad. When, not this last snow, but probably two snows ago when it was pretty heavy. My lawnmower, I have a blower on my lawnmower, and I was blowing, and I bent the tire rod, and now I have one tire that's bent like in this shape and the other one forward. And so I couldn't remove any more snow. So then I went and got my shovel to finish off the job. And when I was shoveling, I broke my shovel. So now I have a stick with a handle on it. And I'm hoping that none of my neighbors were outside because I begin to yell and hit things and throw things and kick things. Was that godly? Absolutely not. But I was hot. I mean, not a little either. I was boiling. And I just remember thinking, how in the world? And then I called to see everybody was out of shovels. Nobody had shovels. Nobody had salt. And I'm like, how am I supposed to get this done? And I asked, I called so many places. Are you going to get any more salt? No, we're done for the season. Well, how am I supposed to get rid of all this? I don't even have a shovel. I finally found a shovel. It was a small shovel, a cheap shovel, but at least I was able to remove the snow. And then I had to do a lot more work than I was planning on when I had the equipment there. And then, can I tell you what bothered me the most? What bothered me the most was not that I broke my lawnmower, not that I broke a shovel. Don't get me wrong. That bothered me. It still bothers me. What bothered me the most is that I lost my cool big time. And I can tell you the thought that crossed my mind was, oh, great man of God. Oh, don't your neighbors know that you're a pastor? What if one of them were outside, saw you throw things and scream and holler and kick snow, pick up a clump of snow that the, and you want to know why it broke? Why it broke is because all that snow was pushed in front of my driveway that I just cleared. Just cleared. And I love the plows. I know they do great things. And he smiled and waved as he went by. And I just smiled and waved. Bless you, brother. And all that was piled up. And then when I went in to clear it, there was hard ice. And I caught it. It caught the side of, and it, that's what bent the wheel. And it made the thing that made me the most mad was the fact that I lost it. And I even talked to Jesse afterwards. I said, Jesse, you know, I'm ticked. Don't get me wrong that all this is broken. Now I'm going to have to try to fix it without, because I don't want to buy parts and all this junk. But I want to try to bend it all back into place and get this all back the way it's supposed to be. I said, but the thing that angers me the most is I'm supposed to be above this. Can I tell you something? We have moments where we have acted out or did something that we have later had to apologize for. And in a moment like that, can I tell you, in my prayer time, I went before the Lord and I asked him to forgive me for acting like a fool over a bent tie rod, bent arm. Can I tell you something? I am confident that if somebody would have came over and said, I need prayer, that it would not have affected them receiving, because God's promises are in him, yes, and in him, amen. Now, we don't live angry. We don't live in a place like that, but if we make a mistake, God is there to cover us, and I believe Samson is a big example to the body of Christ to say that we don't have to have all our stuff together, that we're going to continue to walk after him. Our lives are going to continue to change. I'm not saying we accept sin. Absolutely not. But we accept relationship. We accept the fact that we are sons and daughters of God. And I correct my daughters. But my Lord, do I love them. Even if they don't want me to love them, when I correct them. One of them wants to run away, and I'm like, come back here. Climb up in my lap. I'm going to hug you, and I'm going to hold you, and I love you. She's like, I don't want to. I'm like, I don't care right now. I want to. Let me love you. And I'm like, hug me back. I'm like, that wasn't a good hug. Do it right. Hug me. And she'll put her arms around me, and she'll begin to hug me. I won't tell you which one. But it doesn't change the fact that I love her. It doesn't change the fact that I want good things to happen to her and the fact that I'm going to bless her. There's things I won't put up with in our house. And there are things that happen in her life or that she acts out. And I will tell her very clearly, this is not who you are. This is not you. I love you. And I can't allow you to act in a manner that is not you. You know, Solomon tells us in Proverbs 6 and verse 28 that we cannot walk on hot coals and expect our feet not to get burned. There are certain things that we can't do in life and expect just to get away scot-free. But we can expect victory. We can expect favor. No matter what the outcome is, we can expect God to move on our behalf. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you.